The Feast of the Epiphany, Epiphany literally means revelation. And traditionally, the Church calls in mind the different epiphanies, that is, the different revelations of Jesus Christ. First as a baby, then in his baptism, and then in the inauguration of his public ministry at the wedding feast of Cana. Each of these is a moment where it's like, wow, like something big is happening. And epiphanies still happen today. That is, Jesus wants to be revealed to his people. And so it's worth reflecting on these readings in that light. The second reading, how God wants to be revealed. The first reading, to what extent he has already been revealed. And from the gospel, what's that missing link between God's desire and that fact? How does God revealed in the individual life, in your life and in my life? So again, God's preference, the fact of the revelation, and then what's the missing link from the gospel? Let's look at the missing link. So first, God's preference of revelation. We hear St. Paul write to the Ephesians, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Okay. So just from this short reading, we have a kind of a big part of how God wants to be revealed. Well, first, that very fact that God desires to be revealed, that God does not want to remain in obscurity and secrecy and to be kind of hidden, and it's like, oh, you know, only the real special people can find me. No, the Lord wants to be revealed. But at the same time, God has a preferred way to be revealed. Because Paul here makes a distinction. It was not made known to people in other generations as it has been now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets. So it's not to say that others get zero revelation. Paul says it wasn't revealed to them as it has been revealed now. And that's part of the teaching of the church, that when we talk about this fullness of revelation in Jesus Christ, we are not excluding the possibility of God revealing himself to other peoples and nations and cultures, those who have no contact with the gospel yet. If we're really honest with the Christian message and revelation, we have to recognize that what is taught here is unique among all world religions in many ways. One, the prophecy that anticipated the fulfillment of the religion, which is unlike any other religion, but also the intimacy, the closeness, the personal nature of this religion. Again, God shows himself, but we talk about the fullness of revelation through Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh. So God wants to be revealed, but he has a preference. And sometimes we overlook that. We focus on my preference for God showing himself. And we wonder why I haven't discovered God. Have you considered that maybe God, who is personal, God has a preference? I think so. I think God has a preference of how he wants to reveal himself. Okay, that's the second reading. The first reading is the extent of this revelation. So we hear this, again, this is part of the prophecy and fulfillment written hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is talking about a time when peoples will come to Jerusalem bearing gifts of gold and frankincense coming from the Far East. Okay, and beautifully fulfilled in the visitation of the wise men, the Magi. Okay. So this tells us that, yes, God has a preference for how he wants to be revealed. But God also has a preference for how far he wants to be revealed. That the Lord wants to be revealed to every nation and peoples and language and culture. Christianity is not the exclusive club for the elite. God's desire is for all nations. And again, I see there's something unique in Christianity and something among Christianity, something unique in Catholicism. Where else do you see the whole world gathering for a common purpose, united in a common purpose? I can't think of anything besides Christianity. Yes, you have the world coming together for activities like sports, but those are competitive things where nations are trying to one up other nations, right? But in Christianity, you have a unity that you don't have in any other activity. And in Catholicism, you actually see that visibly. In the times when I've gone to these worldwide gatherings of the Catholic faithful, it's just really beautiful. I some examples I've shared with you in the past. I went to World Day of the Families in 2006 in Valencia, Spain. The World Gathering of Lay Ecclesial Movements in Rome that same year, Pentecost of 2006. And then in 2011, I went to World Youth Day in Madrid. Literally, the world coming together. Like, you had these flags from all across the world. And everyone was really happy to be together praying Mass around the Pope. And that's what's unique in the Catholic faith, is we have that symbol of unity in the Holy Father, the Pope. And so you have Catholics on every continent, in every culture. And we can do things like that, gather around and pray our Mass. Okay? All right. So, what's the disconnect? God's preference. He wants to be revealed. God's preference for how far he wants to be revealed. But why is it that for some of us, we haven't got it yet? Why is it that for some of us, we hear of people talking about a living relationship with God, and we feel like we're on the outside looking in? Why is it for some of us, we hear about the amazing things that God has and is doing in the world, and we feel like, not for me? That we hear about God speaking to people, and then we ask, why not to me? What is the missing link? Let's go to the gospel. So maybe one day in my life they'll make a movie about this, but there's something really captivating about the Chosen series, about taking historical events and making them come to life. Maybe one day they'll make a movie about the Magi, because this is a fascinating story. These philosophers, their life was observing the world and interpreting meaning for humanity based on what they saw. They were attuned to God's revelation, even though they were not Jewish at the time. But they were open to God showing himself. So here they are, these wise men, philosophers, maybe three kings. And they travel, not just a small distance, they travel hundreds of miles. They travel hundreds of miles. They prepare gifts of value. And then they find the child, and they are overjoyed, and they offer their gifts and bow low before him. I would suggest what they demonstrate is a peace that is missing in perhaps our common practice of faith. And that missing piece is risk. Risk. This whole thing is a big old risk. That they're going to travel hundreds of miles. And they're carrying valuable things. They may get robbed. They're traveling hundreds of miles. And they may not find what they're looking for. They travel hundreds of miles into a foreign country. And they very well may be rejected or barred from entrance into that foreign country. But yet, they take each of these steps. And what is the result? Baby Jesus. Revealed to how many? The shepherds, we know. The animals, we assume. And the three wise men. Not to the leaders of Jerusalem. Not to King Herod. Not to all of the elites. But to this small group, they take a risk, and God rewards their risk. Okay, so I bring this up because It seems to me our common practice of the faith in the last couple of generations has been completely about eliminating all risk. That our common practice of the faith, at least in the United States, has been about a consumerist mentality of trying to accommodate as much as humanly possible, so much so that it's in living memory of a few of y'all here. Any of y'all ever heard of a 25-minute Sunday Mass? It wasn't too far from here, from what I heard, but that was the thing. We were so bent on minimizing risk, minimizing inconvenience for the faithful, that we were competing with each other, priests were, to try to who could offer the shortest Mass possible. Because the shortest Mass gets the most people. And it's crazy that for that 25-minute Mass, people drove 45 minutes. Like they would pass 5 or 6 churches. And it took actually more time to drive and to attend the 25-minute Mass. But, we don't want to be inconvenienced anymore. Could it be that a consequence of this minimal risk is that we might be missing out? We might be missing out, all right? And that's, again, this is the story of faith, like in the Gospels. Like, all of these encounters with Jesus are risks. Mary certainly takes a risk in saying yes to the Annunciation. The apostles take a risk in following Jesus. Paul takes a risk in becoming an apostle. And yet, we expect zero risk and to have the exact same experience of faith, right? So that's why I've been promoting opportunities to step out in faith. That's why I'm promoting things like the healing retreat at the end of January, which I believe is going to be a powerful experience because there's so much anxiety and doubt in this world, and the Lord wants to speak to that place and bring healing. That's why we're having the healing retreat. That's why we're having Alpha, an invitation to step out of risk. Great community, great food, great presentation and connection. What people are missing so much in a culture that is super connected, but at the same time, we are very disconnected. And that's why I see people have profound experiences, I believe, on the Acts retreat. No, it's not for everyone, but for those who are willing to take a risk, the overwhelming majority of people have a very positive experience on the Acts retreat. They take a risk, they step out, and something good happens. So that's why I'm extending these opportunities and invitations. But you don't have to take any of those. You can step out in other ways. Again, you don't have to do any of those things. And for some of you who haven't been in a while, coming to Mass today was a risk. So thank you for saying yes to that. Thank you for saying yes to that invitation. Well, good. Okay. So let's pray. Let's pray to be open to the way in which God wants to be revealed. Maybe being open to that over my own preference for God to be revealed. Let's be open to that God wants to be revealed to everyone, not just my little club. And let's be open to taking that risk of faith, stepping out in faith, so that the Lord can be made real, that I can know Him personally, for He is a personal God. Amen.